This is Anil Rao, Principal Analyst and Practice Lead for Network and Service Automation Research at Analysys Mason. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Åsa Nielsen for a discussion on all things automation. Now, Åsa is the Director and Head of Network Service Management and Automation at Telia Company. So we will particularly be focusing on the progress that Telia is making on automation, the lessons that were learned as part of the process, and finally, we'll end with some advice for the industry. Åsa, thank you very much, and appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you, Anil. Delighted to be here.
To start us off, Åsa, could you talk us through, in your own words, what is network automation to you, and how is it different from what we have done all these years? Because automation is not a new topic. And suddenly we're talking about network and service automation. And why is it different? And, you know, could you explain it in your own words?
Indeed. And I think it's very fair to point out, as you say, automation is probably perceived as something different depending on whom you talk to. So, automation, as you say, has been up for many years. However, we have been very much focusing on scripting, robotics, and all these kinds of small pieces, which is really with the purpose to automate an existing workflow. Some people doing something, or maybe enriching some trouble tickets or something like that. What I think is the difference we talk about now when we come to network service automation or orchestration, that is that we natively from the bottom build in something to our network that is capable of running it or whatever kind of aspects of the LCM flow that the network can handle by itself. And also when you look at the assurance, then of course that is not just a magic coming by that. I think the very important thing to point out is that we shouldn't necessarily automate the existing things. We need to look at what kind of processes is beneficial for the future network and start from there. Otherwise, I'm afraid we carry too much of legacy with us. And also, I would like to highlight one thing more, and that's also why do we automate? Because I think there is many different aspects, and that's at least something for me in my role within the Telia and the CTO organization that's been important in order to motivate things. I mean, we do it for the customer reasons. Of course, we are all striving for the network slices, et cetera, where we all know we need the capabilities to be swift and fast and agile to do things in the network. That's not doable manually. But there are so many other steps with doing it from our own cost perspective, purely internal, but still for us to be more profitable going forward. We have the complexity. I mean, we are reaching so many virtual machines, VNFs, et cetera, now that adding 10 more people to manage it, it's not the solution. It's just making it even more complicated. And then, of course, we need our dear customers to have the best quality of the network. And I sincerely believe that automating will help us from avoiding man-made errors in the network.
That's an excellent explanation of how you see the world of automation, you know, from your own lens. And it sort of very much resonates with what is going on in the industry. It's how do you manage the burden of legacy while you're preparing for the virtual networks and the cloud native networks of the future. You know, you mentioned network slicing and so on. It's very easy to get carried away with those new things while losing sight of the real problems or problems at hand today. So thank you for starting us off with that great explanation. Now, as you know, we do a lot of research on this particular topic, and I lead many of these efforts. And a survey that we did recently, where we asked 52 operators specifically on what were their top five business priorities. And more than 75% of the operators said that network automation, network and service automation, is a top five business priority. Now, can you comment a little bit on where do you see network automation in the overall business goals of Telia as a company?
Sure. And I'm honestly not surprised about the high figures. I think there is hardly anyone, when you talk with people now, that wouldn't say that automation is super important. Then, of course, as we said in the previous discussion, depending, of course, with what you mean with it. But then if I look to my company. I think the new thing now is that we really go all in on the natively built-in automation, so the service orchestration, building it in. But from starting that one to getting the good business output, of course, it's a long journey, and you really need to take it stepwise in that sense. And also you need to take the short-term horizon. What can I motivate today? What do I have a clear business case on today? And what is more in the right track for the future, but still has to wait there. But what is in focus for us is definitely the area of transport. It's a very complex area. Quality in configurations has, for many of us in the business, been an issue. It's easy to do errors there. Can we build something in from the bottom there with the transport or the van orchestrator in the transport area? Then, of course, looking at the 5G that we now everyone has on our minds, building in automation from start there in the era of core and cloud is very important also for us.
So you mentioned transport. So I was going to ask you specifically around what network automation initiative are you specifically working on at the moment? So you made a mention of transport, network automation. Now, I'm just curious, why did you prioritize that particular project or that particular domain, transport network domain, for automation over others? And what were the other initiatives that were considered before choosing?
I would say the reason why transport has come first is that it is so complex with all the, call it boxes, call it whatever, but all the equipment that are out in the transport networks. So many IP addresses, routes, etc., that you need to have awareness of. Everything of that is done manually, which means, and also if you look at changes in that area, I think we do like 26,000 changes to the transport network only in Sweden every year. And if we can automate a substantial part of that, of course, we will have higher quality for the end users in our network. So actually, and that has been an interesting discussion also, what the reasons, it's not primarily to be faster with doing things or to be more cost efficient, but really quality has emerged as the area where we really see we have the early effects. Of course, the other parts are important, but the quality is actually what has been the one that helps us first. Then the other one, which I absolutely want to highlight, is, of course, the area of cloud and core. And as you may have heard, we were quite early out with putting all our important core functions onto the virtual network. So we have the VNFs for all the major core functionality, the VPC, the IMS, the SMS, or the messaging, I should say, traffic. And that, of course, means that the cloud infrastructure is tremendous, or the telco cloud is tremendously important to us. To manage that complexity because it is growing big, and also to avoid running into future quality issues. We aren't there, fortunately, but that's extremely important for us to avoid.
So just sticking to the transport network for a moment, and then we'll come back to the core virtualization. Are you also looking at multi-layer automation in the in multi-layer orchestration and automation in the transport networks, so sort of bring together optical IP domains and microwave, maybe?
We are definitely looking at that. We are starting in some areas. You need to start somewhere, right? And we're also looking at multi-layer in the sense of having the domain orchestrator, looking then up at the network service orchestrator, tying it into the service order management and the IT portfolio, so that we have the service catalogs, being able then to order specific services from the eventually end user perspective, etc.
So automating the full stack, sort of.
Full stack, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Are you getting support in terms of the industry standards, with you know, particularly with respect to the transport automation?
If I look at the transport, I mean, of course, there are some TMF standards, which I think are helpful there. I would say, and now if you look at particular transport, I think TMF has been a good help. That is at least what we have decided ourselves to base the interfaces on. Okay. If I look a little bit broader, I am a bit concerned still that we have vendors preferring their own vertical stacks or domains instead of looking more on a horizontal manner. We have put our foot down and very, very clearly said, and we say that in RFQs and in discussions with vendors, we need to be able to run horizontally. We cannot put our dependency up on a specific vendor, since we're going to connect eventually the full network. Simply it needs to be open and well-defined. I know we are not entirely there from an industry perspective, but that is one of my urge to the industry to really support in this area. You will not be strong alone. You need to be able to open up to the bigger ecosystem.
So just looking at the other initiative you mentioned, virtualization in the core, what challenges are you seeing today? I suppose let's look at both the good side and the bad side of this, right? So both the good and the bad. What is going well in general? And then, you know, if you could comment specifically on the virtualization in the core, and what could be done differently in terms of automation there?
I mean, we are progressing. We are out in the live network in production. If you take from the transport perspective, we're seeing benefits. Indeed, I would, if you allow me to, I will actually start a little bit from the other end. What has been the tricky part so far? Because that tells a little bit about the story as well. Automation is so much more than technology. People, processes, changing ways of working, avoiding dragging with you too much of legacy. That has really been, you can see it both positive and negative, the tough part of the journey so far, but also when you succeed, that is really what makes you really push it forward in a good way. And take one simple example of the interfaces between different units. It can be lots of discussion before you've set them, but when you have set them, that is so tremendously helpful and also makes it possible to reach one of our other goals, to scale it across our six operations. It's very important for Telia to develop once and scale across the operations, because then we can, of course, reuse a lot. But I must say, technology is not the tricky part. That has gone well. That has been the, if you call it, easy thing. But to make all the people process changes, that has been the tricky thing. To get changed ways of working defined. Of course, I mean, when we look at these things, it will mean for many people that you will do something different tomorrow. And am I the right one to tell exactly what I'm going to do differently or what I'm maybe not going to do? Maybe not. And that has been a little bit of a challenging situation. Who are the discussion partners? Who are the ones that we talk on in the other end? Is it the ones who do the job today? Or is it someone else? Because it's not the same job that's going to be done tomorrow. And that's what I hear from my peers in the industry as well, that, I mean, changing the ways of working, it's people, it's a transformation journey. That's what we aim for. And those are all always challenging, but can be very rewarded. Another thing we saw quite clearly, on the transport side, a good example there, when we introduced the automation engine or the orchestration in the middle, if you haven't filled in with the parts around it, inventories, etc., that are as capable, it's a bit tricky to get the good outcome. So you need to step, you need to have a journey where all step together to get the reward afterwards, in the sense of improved networks.
Now, from a 5G perspective, you sort of briefly mentioned 5G, and it's the flavor of the season, isn't it? I mean, it's more and more operators preparing for the real 5G, which is the standalone version. Could you comment a little bit on what you're doing on 5G at the moment? I've seen that the 5G service is launched in some markets, in some of the Telia properties. So bringing the 5G in the context of network and service automation, could you comment on what specifically you're doing to get the 5G standalone off the ground?
Because say like this, I mean, I guess everyone in the industry has some kind of a little bit glory view of 5G is going to be network slices, it's going to be possible to sell a slice services instead of selling a full SIM card that you charge for, you chop it up with different services. Then, of course, you need to have network automation, you need to have network slices behind it as the technology, you could say. And I think we all agree that one slice, two slice, a few slices, that's absolutely doable with the manual operations. But if you start to scale it and scale it on a user basis, which is kind of fundamental if we should reach the intention with 5G, then you need network automation. So no secret, of course, you need to build that in from the beginning. And also one of my favorite sayings in the discussions internally in the office is also, you can never add on these capabilities afterwards. Unless you build them in from day one, it would be very, very tricky to put it on later. So, I mean, we start domain by domain in that sense. And I mean, I think everyone knows that radio is the trickiest one to have reservations out there. So that comes maybe a little bit later. But starting from the transport, as I explained, since we have been in production with that for some time, adding on now more efficiently the cloud part as the next step. So we can do these slices on a core and transport side. And then eventually something else will be there. But the main part here again is to see how do we optimize the processes? What does a closed loop automation process look like so that you can build in both the fulfillment and assurance part of it at the same time in the network?
That's a really good point you make about economies of scale, isn't it? I mean, you can create one or two slices, which is what is being discussed today, isn't it? You know, you're going to have generic slices for enhanced mobile broadband and, you know, URLLC and MMTC, maybe three slices to start with. But then ultimately the gains are going to, the commercial gains are going to come from being able to create differentiated slices on a per use case basis or a per enterprise basis, where you're able to provide these slices, you know, commercially packaged and with obviously SLAs and quality of service guarantees. And obviously 5G standalone, cloud native core combination with some of the networking innovations coming out from the transport network combined with the SDN control and orchestration capability sort of gives you that foundation to scale up the network slice creation and lifecycle management. So thinking about this in a more an end-to-end way, in a more cross-domain approach, because truly network slices are end-to-end, isn't
Absolutely.
It? But then, as you rightly said, you know, you start with the domain level, you know, you get all the capabilities in the transport, you get the capabilities in the core, and then with some innovations in the RAN, initially around resource partitioning, and then maybe with the virtualization of the RAN, you could do similar stuff that you're now able to do in the core with VNFs and CNFs. So, you know, ultimately you get to a stage where you can actually dynamically create those slices and then really stitching it together with service end-to-end service orchestration and end-to-end slice lifecycle management. We're getting there, I think. As you rightly pointed out, it's important to be realistic and practical. You've got to sort out the domain level automations and then gradually add slicing capability to those domains and then deploy an end-to-end service orchestrator to ultimately be able to commercialize network slices. I just wanted to, you know, we've sort of very briefly touched upon how you are changing the way you're working internally. But then the other side of the coin is the critical role of your vendor partners in this journey. Could you, from your dealings and from your day-to-day dealings with vendor partners and so on, how are you changing the way you're working with your vendor partners? Because it's obvious that the way things were done for many, many years, it's not going to be fit for purpose going forward. So how are you changing working with your vendor partners?
So I think we touched upon it a little bit earlier. And the main difference is, of course, as I said, that we can't in a all connected or digitalized automated environment have silos that behave independently. And that also means that we need to work with our vendors in the same way. We need to require and request them to be part of the bigger ecosystem, to apply to whatever standards that might be applicable. I mean, of course, we have had it in the, if you look a couple of years back when we had all the fashion GSM or Wi-Fi CDMA network, we had very good standards. It was easy to put one into the other of the vendors. Now we are seeing quite some efforts that, okay, but if you take all of our stuff, you get a really good full stack and you get a smooth management of things. Looks beautiful and fine in one domain, but we need to have the domains connected. And also we cannot, of course, allow ourselves for lock-in entirely with one vendor in one domain. We need to have the horizontal thinking. That has been super fundamental for how we have set off our journey. And that's also how we then work towards our vendor very stubbornly on that approach in the journey.
So I just wanted to ask you, with all the projects you're working on at the moment, you know, you talked about transport, you talked about core automation in the core network. What sort of benefits are you seeing by automating the processes and natively, as you rightly said, natively building automation? It comes at a cost, right? But then you wouldn't do it if there weren't benefits. So what benefits are you seeing today?
One benefit I must highlight first, because it's not, of course, an end state benefit in that sense, but it's been pretty obvious, but also pretty interesting to see. I mean, if you're going to do automation, you, of course, need to be extremely clear with what you're going to automate. And with that, I mean, unless the process is clear stepwise, how you're going to do when you automate it, you can't put it into the technology that's going to take you there. So just by cleaning up these things, how things going to behave in whatever type of occasion has been very helpful for us to also improve the quality in that sense. If you aren't forced to have very clear definitions and clear behaviors, it's easy not to get there in that sense. That has been a early benefit, not of course external, but it has been very helpful for us in the internal work. Then if we take more the benefits towards the customers, and as I said in the beginning, quality, that is the one that comes first. And maybe it's related to this, what I told about the processes as well. Then of course, we intend to see shortened lead times. If you automate the fulfillment of a new L3 service, of course, it's going to be rather seconds than weeks that we may have been on previously. There as well, a little bit of a funny story in that one. When we started with this in production beginning last year, 2019, we got some complaint from the ones who were supposed to use the new service because they had to provide everything in the very same shape and form. And that, of course, was not what they were used to. For us working with automation, it's pretty obvious you need to have things in the same shape and form. But it was a hesitation, it was a resistance from the ones who used it, that it had to be so squared in that sense. After some usage, of course, people got used to it. And then it was the other reaction. Hey, it's so much simpler now when we know exactly what format it's supposed to be on. And I think that's a little bit part of the journey and part of the people resistance of getting ourselves there. Then, of course, with all the respect to people, we intend to have people to be able to work with more qualified things than simple configurations that the system and the machine can do in a better way. And maybe I should mention one more area which we have not touched upon when it comes to advantages, and that's the area of security. Mm. You can see it both ways, automation. Some people say it's a big risk to the system if you have it's pretty powerful tools, these orchestrators we're working with. If you have the wrong people in, of course, it's a super big risk. But on the other hand, the more that is automated, it's pre-tested, you know that it works, no one interferes with it. Of course, the security actually increases in the system as well. And I think that is important for us. And then, eventually, I hope I will not retire before we have the network slices and we can see the advantage of really empowering our customers and both consumers and business customers with services based on network slices and can chop up and give them some cheap start service. They can add on things instead of buying a full SIM card service day one.
Final question. So I'm going to ask you to provide some practical advice to the ecosystem and to our industry. First, if you could start with your peers who are in similar position as you, trying to get the network automation off the ground and fighting the similar challenges that you are. And then onto the vendor community as well, the partners that are going to help you along this journey.
So let's start with the PS then. I mean, first of all, it is a stepwise journey. Don't expect miracles day one. But we really need to find the positive steps and move on based on those, because, I mean, we all have issues and are facing challenges to get approval of investments, to take the next step, etc. So really, first things first, and build on those to eventually have the bigger system out there. And also people, processes, that is so important. And that's the thing of the journey, I must say, not the technology journey. That's a part of it. And if I look at our dear vendors, I mean, of course, we can't live without you. But also remember that you are not unique in that sense. You need to be one piece in the bigger puzzle in the infrastructure ecosystem. And it's so much better for all of us if we agree to that setup and not try to build silos unnecessarily.
Well, that's great. Well, Åsa, thank you very much. I think we covered a lot of ground, some great explanation of what Telia is doing today. And specifically, I really appreciated you opening up to the challenges you're facing internally and how you're sort of trying to overcome those challenges. Thank you very much specifically for explaining the progress on transport network automation and some initial thoughts on 5G as well. And the practical advice to the industry, I'm sure that's going to be valuable advice to your peers and your vendor partners. Thank you very much, Åsa.
Thank you, Anil. It was a pleasure being here.